In the shadowy corners of our search for connection lies Joe Goldberg's twisted journey. After murdering his previous girlfriend, Beck, in a fit of possessive rage, Joe believes he's finally found his soulmate in Amy Adam. Unlike Beck's carefully curated social media presence, Amy seems refreshingly analog. She shuns Instagram, rarely uses her phone, and shares Joe's passion for rare books. Their romance blossoms intensely as they hunt for valuable first editions and share intimate literary discussions late into the night. But paradise crumbles during a weekend trip to Rhode Island, where memories of murdering Peach Salinger begin to haunt Joe. Upon returning to New York, his world shatters completely. Amy has vanished, taking $23,000 worth of rare books and leaving only a cryptic note. "Sorry, Joe, I tried, but we really are the same. We both hold back. We both lose control. We both have secrets." This betrayal transforms Joe's romantic devotion into obsessive revenge. Through methodical investigation, he discovers Amy is actually a skilled con artist heading to Los Angeles to pursue acting. Making a decisive break with his past, Joe declares, "I'm done with New York and its cold-hearted women," and begins plotting his cross-country pursuit with chilling certainty. Los Angeles greets Joe with disorienting contradictions. Unlike New York's pedestrian-friendly anonymity, LA's car culture challenges him. People here only walk to exercise or reach transportation. "I miss being invisible in a sea of faces." The relentless sunshine creates a dreamlike atmosphere where every day feels identical, making it easy to lose track of time. Joe positions himself at a bookstore near Amy's UCB Theater. His new environment introduces Hollywood stereotypes. Calvin, his almost-made-it boss, watching obscure films while claiming to write his breakthrough screenplay. Harvey, the apartment manager obsessively documenting his mundane life on Instagram. And Delilah, a gossip reporter masking her disappointments behind exposés of others' failures. Despite elaborate schemes, from fake casting calls to questioning bartenders in the comedy scene, Amy remains elusive. When Calvin insists Tinder has become the most important casting database where hopefuls swipe their way into the right network, Joe reluctantly creates a profile, drawing him deeper into LA's dark underbelly where dreams and delusions intersect. Joe's pursuit of Amy takes an unexpected turn when he meets Love Quinn at Soho House. Their connection is immediate and electric. Her mouth is Soho House velvet and marble, members only. Unlike his previous obsessions, Love holds his gaze without flinching. She's a pervert too, Joe thinks approvingly. Love represents everything Joe craves: authenticity in a fake city, unpretentious wealth, and genuine passion. At 35 and twice divorced, she's part of the Quinn family empire that owns the Pantry grocery chain. Their relationship accelerates rapidly, with Joe quickly welcomed by her parents, Ray and Dottie, while her troubled twin brother, 40, nicknames him Professor. For the first time, Joe experiences what feels like unconditional acceptance. The lavish lifestyle convinces him he's found his place. Yet beneath this seemingly perfect romance lurks Joe's fundamental pathology. He still views love as a possession. Despite this, Joe believes, "I've struck gold with love. Everything I did was worth it because it led me to her." Joe's happiness shatters when he hears comedian Henderson say, "Love you, Amy, baby," at a party. Convinced Amy is cheating, Joe invades Henderson's mansion armed with murder tools. After Henderson performs a routine mocking Amy sexually, Joe confronts him, only to learn Henderson barely knew Amy. Despite this revelation, Joe sedates and suffocates him anyway. Unlike Joe's previous victims, Henderson becomes an international sensation posthumously, his face appearing on shirts and television tributes. As Joe grows closer to Love, her twin brother 40 becomes a significant problem. Initially appearing as a troubled but endearing addict, Forty reveals his darker nature by stealing Joe's screenplay ideas and selling them to a production company. When Forty disappears on a bender, the Quinn family falls apart, with Love becoming a tired, brittle, worried mess. Joe tracks Forty to Las Vegas, finding him gambling away thousands and harassing women. Joe attempts to murder him at Alkali Springs outside Vegas, but Forty survives and blackmails Joe. Either ghostwrite his screenplays or be exposed as a murderer. Joe's neighbor Delilah grows suspicious after their one-night stand following Henderson's memorial. The situation explodes when she discovers Joe's pantry bag containing murder implements. When confronted, she attempts negotiation, suggesting she knows people who could make a documentary about this, like Serial. Joe responds with swift brutality. He forces her into the bathtub, tapes her mouth, and binds her while playing Journey music to mask her cries. Returning with an orange kitchen knife, he kills her, coldly observing that she wasn't beautiful, just pretty, and a lot of girls would have loved to be so pretty. Joe disposes of Delilah's body in the Pacific Ocean using the Quinn's fishing boat. As he drops her weighted-down bag into the water, he feels brief remorse before rationalizing that L.A. turns people into monsters. This murder creates new problems when Officer Fincher investigates Delilah's disappearance, confronting Joe about inconsistencies in his story. The walls close in on Joe when Peach Salinger's case reopens after an anonymous tip. To his shock, Love follows him to Rhode Island and confronts him about his lies. Desperate not to lose her, Joe confesses everything about his past crimes. Instead of fleeing in horror, Love shares her own dark secret. She reveals that as a child, her twin brother Forty tied up their puppy Roosevelt and starved it to death out of jealousy. Love protected her brother despite his disturbing behavior, explaining, "All I know is how to love, so I can deal with you." Then comes another bombshell. Love is pregnant with Joe's child. As they celebrate, Love produces the blue mug from the Salinger house containing traces of Joe's urine. She retrieved it by impersonating Peach's secret lover, convincing the Salingers to let her upstairs where she took the incriminating evidence. During a morning walk in Malibu, Joe encounters Amy, who dismisses their relationship as meaningless summer fucking and admits she left because he was pathetic. Seeing her shallowness, he decides to spare her, thinking, "I have love now and a baby on the way. I've changed." This mercy proves fleeting. While at Taco Bell satisfying Love's pregnancy cravings, Joe returns from the bathroom to find police surrounding him. He's arrested for murdering Guinevere Beck and Peach Salinger. In interrogation, Detective Carr questions inconsistencies in Joe's stories, particularly regarding people who don't exist anymore. Yet Joe remains confident. "I'm rich now, untouchable. I'll have the best lawyers money can buy, and they have no evidence." Despite his circumstances, he trusts in Love and his imminent freedom, a testament to his unwavering self-delusion. What's truly terrifying is how easily we sympathize with Joe despite his monstrous actions. His wit and seemingly genuine desire for connection make us almost forget we're in the mind of a serial killer.